Good morning, folks. This is Scott Mitchell. As you all are aware, probably if you're on here, we've been on here before. If you're new on the radio, especially this, if you all know me from Crawford County, I'm the same Scott Mitchell you've always known. Only I'm different than I used to be. It's the same but different. It's like the new Coke. But anyway, been very blessed to have this radio program, and Sean Scott's been faithful in letting us use his station to do this show. We've been doing this now for, well, several episodes. I don't even know how. I forgot to look at the website this morning to get the count. If you want to follow what we've done, we have several sources for you. You can go, Theron Hall has set up a website called letthebiblespeak.faith. He uploads all of our talks on there, and you can go there and listen. There's also, as if you're on Facebook, we have this Facebook live feed. Also, Theron and his daughter make CDs, and you can contact us through the website or the Facebook page and request CDs of shows if you'd like. As far as today is concerned, you can contact us through the website. We are on Facebook Live. You can contact us on there. I forgot to hit record. I'm going to record the show with my phone today just as a backup, but yeah, you should be able to text me today as well, and contact us through there, and we can see your questions. Theron has might have access. We can see the screen. I'm not sure if you put questions on there, but we have lots of access this morning to everything. My phone number is 812-620-4034. If you want to text us, and I'll try to remember to say that a few times during the show. We got a big day today. My daughter goes back to college today, Andrew, taking her back to Bowling Green with Faith Hare. So we'll do that after the show. We got a lot of things going on, and of course we got the snow coming in, which is very exciting.
Oh, man.
I heard this morning 3 to 6 inches instead of 1 to 3, which it was before. We'll see what actually happens.
Everybody get their bread.
We probably won't get any. We'll just get a dusting. But with that all said, that's kind of the access to the information. I did the show by myself last week. I wanted to say this because I was sitting on my kitchen table, and by partway through the show, I realized, wait a minute, I'm not looking at the camera. I was looking down, and I come to find out Theron had put on, hey, you need to look up at the camera. Because I guess he got tired of seeing the top of my head. And what I realized, Theron, because Don Sieg has lost a vision in his left eye. Did you know that?
I did know that, yeah.
So the other day I was looking at him, and I couldn't remember which eye it was that he was blind in.
And you know what that's like?
And I thought to myself, wait a minute, that's what it is like for people to look at me, because I'm blind in my left eye, and they don't always know which. And so looking at that camera last week made me uncomfortable. It was like trying to figure out which eye a person can, so you know how you kind of look away?
Yeah.
And it was kind of weird. It was like looking at Don Sieg with one eye trying to figure out which eye it was, so it made me uncomfortable, so I didn't look at the camera like I was supposed to. And so I'll do better at that as we go along. The future of the show is not in limbo. We just got to, we may make some changes about how we do things. Changes are coming, but there'll be more to say about that later. But we just want to spend some time with God's Word this morning, Andrew. I want you to go ahead and, I know you've done this before, but for new people, why don't you introduce yourself, kind of explain where you are and where you've come from, and then we can get started with our talk about loving sinners and not to sin.
Well, I appreciate again for the invitation. Thank you, Scott, for reaching out to me and giving the opportunity. We have similar but yet a little bit different background stories.
Indeed.
I had grown up in church in a religious background, but not doctrinally sound, meaning that what was in the Bible was not taught.
Yeah.
Or what was said in the Bible is not. Yeah. Is
Theron is saying you're too loud.
Yeah. Okay, let me just. I'll doubt.
Mike loves you.
Anyway, go ahead.
You do. Like Scott, it loves you, and I'm having problems.
Yeah, go ahead. You just keep
well,
talking.
Well, thank you.
I don't want Scott to be like whispering.
Yeah.
So like, all right.
I'll speak up, you speak down, and we'll be all right.
All right. I'm not going to speak down to you, but I'll speak
right.
A little bit lower.
Yeah, that's right.
But again, back to what I was saying. But no, I grew up in their religious background, did the Sunday usual, went to services, but wasn't being taught really what the Bible was saying. And did that for quite a while, and then eventually grew away, or went my own way, which was not the way of going to any church.
Yeah.
And then I got interested in wanting to go back, and make a long story short, where I went was, again, not teaching what the Bible was saying, and then I just started having questions and desiring to know, okay, what's going on with what is Scripture saying? I want to learn. And then eventually I was led to a social meetup, which is a website, meetup.com. There was a group there that I met with. I was just looking for people to study the Bible. I had questions, and I really wasn't necessarily looking for another church, but I was searching. Mm-hmm. I had that desire.
You're looking for the truth.
Yes. And I was kind of questioning, was I actually learning the truth? Mm-hmm. And eventually through that and diving in, studying, I came to know what the truth is and what the Scripture says. And if the Scripture says it, then I need to be willing to follow it. Mm-hmm. So, and I was just thinking about before we started this program, and I thought about it the other day, and Proverbs 27:17 came to mind, and it says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Mm-hmm. And that's why I appreciate things such as this, and whether it be something, a radio program, a personal Bible study, mm-hmm. it's so vital and so powerful to me, and it helps me, and hopefully it helps whoever else is involved.
And please, folks, get your Bibles. We're going to read some verses today, and we're going to talk about it. Get your Bibles to read along with us.
Mm-hmm.
And make comment. You know, we've got a phone number for the actual station here is 812-365-9864. You're welcome to call here, and you can get my phone. My cell is 812-620-4034. Get involved in this. That's interesting. That's like a world record. 16,000.
Sean Scott is hosting a watch party.
Oh, cool.
I think that has a lot to do with
it. Well, excellent. So what we're...
And thank you, Sean.
You know, if I'd known you were going to say iron sharpens iron, I'd have worn my T-shirt.
I should have given you a heads up.
This one says, embrace God's grace. And Tim Modlin, my good Christian buddy from Pekin, made this shirt for me. And he also would have a shirt that where somebody was sick at church and with cancer. Mm-hmm. And he made this shirt. It says iron sharpens iron on it. And Tim does. So if you need T-shirts, call Tim Modlin. We'll talk about that later. You don't have to pay me, Tim. That's free advertisement for Tim Modlin's T-shirt business. But anyway, so let's get started. Loving the sinner and not the sin. Now, a lot of times this is stated as we hate the sin, not the sinner, which gives it kind of a negative connotation. So I prefer to say get Martin off the screen. But I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that we need to say love the sinner, not the sin, to help reverse that. And here, and I've been reading a lot about this idea this week since you said that. And one of the articles I was talked about that negative connotation with saying hate the sin, not the sinner. But what happens, and what I've seen people do, and maybe you've seen this too, is that they will kind of grade sin based on how they feel about the person.
Mm.
So if they really like the person, or if they're a close family member, what happens is that all of a sudden their sin isn't as bad as somebody else's sin. And so they kind of justify that. And so we're going to talk about whether that is love or not, what really loving a sinner will motivate us to do.
Well,
that kind of idea. So go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say,
and you may.
Well, the one thing I wanted to stress is the actual statement. It's not actual in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
People might think that that finding that in the Bible is...
Go ahead. You're doing fine.
All right. Those words are not actually said in the Bible itself.
Mm-hmm.
It is a popular saying that a lot of people will use, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
But definitely...
But the concept is there.
Oh, yes.
That we do need to hate sin.
Yes.
And hate the father of sin. His name's Satan.
Yes.
Spelled with a little s, not a capital S, because I hate him that much. And I don't really, I need to continue to develop my hatred for him to a point of hatred I've never felt before. Because of what I see going on with our young people and what I see going on in churches today, he's deceived people to the point where sin's ambiguous, now which sometimes people can't even tell what sin is, which is a problem. Oh, I forgot, we were supposed to start with that. When we started, we were supposed to talk about what is sin. So how do you define sin?
Well, Scripture says lawlessness, breaking God's law.
Lawlessness, it's a transgression of God's law.
Yes.
And so, and in terms of talking about sinners, we need to talk about what that are we saying that you and I, since we've come to know God, we're not sinners anymore?
Well, no, no.
No, we're not saying that?
That would say that we're perfect and that we never make a mistake.
Well, we don't say that. Okay, and so I said that kind of sarcastically because what we're talking about here in this conversation are people who willfully sin when they know they shouldn't be doing what they're doing.
Yes.
And so that idea in Hebrews 10:26, this willful sin.
Yes.
It's one thing to sin ignorantly and realize what you're doing, change, and repent of that.
Yes.
It's another thing to read the Bible, realize that you're sinning, and say, you know what, I don't like what the Bible says there, so I'm going to ignore it. That's a different ball of wax altogether.
Oh, yes.
So that's kind of more the realm we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And so even when we meet someone new who may not be living life like they should be living it, we've all been there. I remember my life before I became a Christian. And so I can't ever look at people as less than me. We can't vilify people for being sinners, because that causes us to hate them instead of love them, and yes, then we don't do what we're supposed to do. So I understand no one in this room, Theron, me, Andrew, or anybody else has ever said in here will ever say, "Well, I'm a perfect person. I don't sin anymore." Not what we're talking about.
That's right.
And so I wanted to clarify that and understand that, you know, we need to be able to separate the sin from the sinner, because if we really do hate sin like we're supposed to, we can't let that feed into the person that's the sinner and then dehumanize them to the point where we think, well, I don't even want to talk to them, I don't want to help them, because they're such a sinner.
Yeah, that means you wouldn't be able to really love them.
And that's not love at all. And so understand, there is more to this than we have time to talk about today.
Yeah, because we always still need grace.
Yeah, and so as we go through this process, understand that an hour's not enough.
Oh, yes.
It never is. And so let's move. I know you've got lots of notes. I've got a few, but I've talked enough. So won't you go ahead and where you start on top of your list, let's start there and go.
Well, I just wanted to, I think we can start at the very beginning of the Bible, beginning of Scripture, right from Genesis, talks about God caring for the sinner. Mm-hmm. He could have, right as soon as Eve chose to eat from the tree of good and knowledge of good and evil, he could have made a clean slate right there.
Okay.
And he could have said, "You sinned," and once Adam partook of the fruit and he sinned, he could have
just wipe it out.
Yeah. But he didn't, but he still cared for them. And he even made a sacrifice, clothed them, he still loved them. We see Cain. He was heading in his heart to murder his brother, and God could see that.
Mm-hmm.
He warned him. He says that sin is crouching at your door.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave every opportunity, you could turn this around.
Mm-hmm. And that's from Genesis 4, it's like 6, 7, 8, that area where God says, look, you can choose to do right.
Yep. Yes.
I'm going to let you choose to do the right thing here.
Yeah.
He didn't, but God gave him that choice. And he gives us all that choice.
Yes.
And all of us. He gives us all that choice.
And even after he did commit that sin of murdering his brother, God still tried to reach out to him.
Mm-hmm.
He still tried to call out to him. But he made the choice, yeah, Cain did, to walk away. It says he went out from his presence.
And then that brings up, you know, we were talking the other day at All Bethel about a situation, you know, where someone had, even talking about murder, someone murders someone we know, are we supposed to forgive that person? And what my wife and I talked about later was, really, I didn't say this, we didn't say this during that study, but we went back and said it, is God asking us to do anything in terms of loving sinners, forgiving people, wanting them to can repent and bring them back? Is he doing anything? Is he asking us to do anything that he hasn't already done?
No.
No. And so if that's our example of what love is, then we need to be trying to attain to that level of love.
Yeah, because
I've still got work to do.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
you know, God. And so I'm glad you said, anyway, I interrupted you again.
No,
but
that's okay.
I
don't mind we interrupting each other.
Yeah. Well, it's good, because I probably will. But since you don't mind, especially. But,
yeah.
Okay, now I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that God tells us to forgive others. Yeah. And Jesus gave us a model prayer, asking us to forgive others as we are to give, ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us.
Do you think that there is a truth where we can identify sin that is sound and solid as far as identifying what sin is? You think we can see that in the Bible?
Where sin is?
Yeah, we can identify it clearly using the truth that we have.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I bring that up is we had a discussion last week about truth. And someone asked the question, well, what if you were preaching and you lose the whole church? I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, what if everybody leaves because of what you're saying? I said, well, one of two things has happened. Number one thing is either the truth is not being taught and people recognize that and they don't want to hear it, or the truth is being taught and it makes them uncomfortable and they don't want to hear it. And so we all have to weigh though, and when we don't like what's being said, we all have to weigh that against the truth that we have and decide why we aren't liking what we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't like to look at people and say that person is a sinner because we really like them. And we don't want to condemn them.
Yeah.
And we don't want, and so we have to go back to the truth. It talks about in Ephesians 4. There is one truth. And that one truth is what's going to judge us. This word we have is what's going to be our judge.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we love people and we know what this truth says, we have to try to help them. And that's what we're asking people to do today.
Yeah.
Is try to help. Or if you're out there and you think you're living in sin, pick up your Bible. Be honest with what it says and change. Is that what you're here for?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was just wanting to make sure. So that idea of knowing truth and being willing to accept it, that's really what divides the religious world.
And you just made me think about a passage in Jude.
Okay.
That what we are really supposed to do, this is Jude verses 22 and 23, and how we should view sinners about what our job is supposed mm-hmm. to be and how severe it is about caring about someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatch them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. So we are going as close as we can to really battle them to the very end, as far as we don't get caught in ourselves, mm-hmm. get trapped in that sin, but we are supposed to try to snatch them out of hell itself.
Yeah.
And so
I knew what those verses, you know, what I just read 24,
mm-hmm.
and it's interesting what we have as a foundation. Verse 24, Jude says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory. God is the only one that can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
God is the one that has explained what sin is, and he's lined out what to do about sin. And we have to be willing to accept that if we want to do things the way God says to do them. That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Until, like most things, everything appears simple until people get involved. And then all of a sudden it's complicated. But anyway, that's so. Go ahead. I interrupted you again.
No, it's okay. And I just have to just keep in the forefront of my mind that Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
That's
He says that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to repeat. I could go through a whole list of verses right now, but I'm not going to do that. So what do we have over there, Andrew? You got a long list of things to get through.
I know.
We're down to like 50, 40, 41 minutes. Let's go. Come on.
Well, I think one of the most common things.
Get a move on here, boys.
Jesus said, "Love your enemies."
He did say that.
Yeah, and you could say that in a sense, love sinners.
What is it about a person that we look at, that we think? And I've seen a lot of parents, a lot of students in the last 30 years that almost appeared evil. What is it about that person that should cause us, and this is it, that should cause us to be worried about them?
Well, first of all, is Bible speaks is about what comes out of one's mouth,
mm-hmm.
is what is in their heart. So
yeah.
That's the first thing I would mm-hmm. say is a concern.
Mm-hmm.
It's how they speak.
You know, what is it about us? There's an whether we're good or whether we're evil, there's an eternity that we're going to face.
Yes, it says in...
And so what we need to be concerned about, no matter how dirty or evil or awful somebody may appear to be, their soul is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't try to help, what we're saying is, I don't care if you go to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very sobering.
And we can't... Can you imagine? I was watching... This line is so cool. I can't remember which movie it was. I was watching a movie the other day, and it was one of these movies about the era of racism, blacks, and oh, it was 42, baseball movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right, watch it with TV Guardian. There's a little bit of cussing in there, but watch it. It's a good movie, but one of the other baseball team owners called the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers and said, you can't come to Philadelphia. We're not ready yet for this. And the other owner says, do you think God loves baseball? And the guy said, what do you mean? He said, well, do you really think that when you stand before your judge, that when you say, I didn't like the color of his skin, that's going to be a sufficient answer?
Mm.
Is that a sufficient answer to say, I don't like that? I don't like, you know, I don't, well, that person was greasy and dirty and I didn't like what they looked like, so I didn't talk to him. Is that a sufficient answer? I don't think it's going to be a sufficient answer.
Yeah, I don't want to have to respond.
Jesus
to
didn't say, hey, you know, if you bathe and you're clean and you don't cuss, I'll die on the cross for you. So we need to change our attitudes about this eternity. We understand everybody out there has an eternal soul. We're going to be one place or the other. Yeah. And our job is to kind of talk to everybody. I don't care what they look like, who they are, what they've done. Our job is to try to help them.
Yeah.
They may not want it, but we have to try to help them.
Yeah.
So it's an eternal soul we're talking about. We're not talking about the baseball player. We're not talking about the truck driver. We're not talking about the school teacher or the coach or the engineer. We're talking about the eternal soul. And we've got to keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. Anyway, go ahead. I got you again. Keep going.
No. You just bring up a lot of good points. But I think it's a good thing to keep in mind that there are these, you can call them pillars of faith in the Bible, and they're good examples for us that you would think, well, you don't look at them as being sinners, but there are like Peter, Paul, David, they were all sinners. They all did things that were wrong, but they chose to repent, make that life change, and live for the Lord.
Was God going to accept them if they didn't change?
No.
See, that's sobering as well.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Interrupt you. Keep going.
No, you can... I just think that it's... Because the Bible tells us that all have sinned in Romans 3:23.
Yep.
And because of those sins, again, in Romans, the wages of sin is death.
Now, I know what people out there are thinking. Some people out there. If they listen to this... Well, what about John 3:16?
Yeah.
That, you know, they use this verse to remove all responsibility from us.
Mm-hmm.
And that verse doesn't do that. I know you had John 3:16 and I've got John 3:16, Romans 5:8, and John 13 all rapping about this idea about how much Jesus loved us.
Yes.
Okay, everybody knows you can watch any football game this weekend. There's gonna be somebody with John 3:16 on there. For God so loved the world that he gives only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that. Everybody knows that verse. Does that mean that there's no responsibility on our part to fix what's wrong? Because it said God loved us that much.
Yeah.
That's the part people grapple with. Well, how much do we have to change? How much should we say anything? You know, people get offended when we talk to them about the Bible, that kind of thing. And so I know you had that verse. What did you want to say about that? I know you had it on your list. What did you want to say about that?
Well, those that continue to practice sin and doing willfully are saying, well, this does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
They're not willing to make that life change.
Okay.
And that if they do continue to do that, and this is...
There's a lot of comments on that screen. Can you see those things?
Yeah, I can see them. Go ahead, buddy. I'm responding. Actually, most of those comments are mine.
Excellent. All right, good.
Well, the thing is... There is a Bible passage in Matthew 7 6, it says, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and mm-hmm. turn and tear you to pieces. Eventually, if you're going to tell somebody the truth, and if they're not willing to accept it, then eventually you have to say, well, I can't help you if mm-hmm. you're not going to believe what God's word says.
So since you brought that up, you mentioned verses where Paul talks about turning people over to Satan.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that?
Well, I think that he cares about that person so much. He wants them to change. He's hoping that they see that the world is not what you want to be, mm-hmm. that this temporal life is not all that there is, that there is more, as you said, that we mm-hmm. got this eternal soul that we're concerned about, mm-hmm. that maybe something will happen that will hopefully draw them back.
Mm-hmm. So we love them enough.
Yes, to tell
whatever
them.
We've got to do.
Yeah, we love them enough to tell them the truth about the scripture, because we know that, as Romans 1 says, that the word is the power unto salvation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you actually want to look at those verses where it talks about where there's a couple verses. First one I had is 1 Corinthians 5. These are the passages that talk about where people are turned over to the world and hopefully that they will eventually come back.
Yeah.
But 1 Corinthians 5:5, it says, I decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's talking about someone that was caught up in morality mm-hmm. At that time, at that particular church in Corinth. That was the context. This person was having inappropriate relationships mm-hmm. with his father's spouse.
His stepmom.
Yeah. Ew. Yeah, it's one of those sad things, but I know that's
what it
in
is.
In this world, that those things will happen.
You know what's cool is you go to 2 Corinthians and you find out a lot of changes were made.
Yeah, he comes back to and he repents.
Good study. Yeah, and so it's important to understand. You know, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians with fear and trembling. He said, "I'm worried inside, outside. I've got all kinds of concerns." But they accepted well what he said.
Yes,
there's a good lesson there too. We don't have time to get to, but this man did change.
Yes, and that's
cool.
That's right. I'm actually reading in my daily Bible study in 2 Corinthians, glad you bring that up. Yeah. And so there is a good side to the story, mm-hmm. and there's a good reason why we have to let sometimes people go if they are entrapped in sin, and if they are just a person that is saying, you know what, I'm not going to change. I've decided this is the way I want to live. I've done what I can do. Mm-hmm. My job is to tell people about Jesus, about his saving grace, and about what the gospel says, mm-hmm. and what the Bible says. And if a person chooses not to live that way, then I have to say, well, I can't help you any further. I will pray that you will be willing to listen at some point, mm-hmm. And that you'd be willing to change, and then God will be there if you're willing to change. Mm-hmm. And I will more than be happy to.
Oh, it's time.
You're listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcasting from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
Now that we're halfway through the show, I don't think we've got two of your verses in, so let's go.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to stress the point of that a person hopefully will be receptive. If someone is really wanting to change their ways, that they've lived in sin and said that, well, because that's how I was. I was living deep in sin, but I got to a point where that life was not for me, and people were there for me. Mm-hmm. God provided people that truly cared about me, were telling me the truth, and I truly believe that people are there.
Okay, so you brought up a verse earlier on your list about how God doesn't want anyone to perish.
But yes.
What verse was that again?
2 Peter 3.
Okay. Here's my, I think that if somebody really wants to know the truth and they're sincere about being saved, God's going to send them somebody mm-hmm. to teach them.
Yeah.
I really believe that's true. So go ahead and read. I know you had that verse on there. We'll get to another one. So go ahead and read that and let's see what it says.
This is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Mm-hmm. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance.
What does that mean? Again, Theron, maybe you can help us define this word. What does all mean?
Yeah. There's no more than all.
So no matter what sin you're committing, no matter what sin you're living in right now, no matter what you've done, God still wants you. Is that what that means?
Yes.
That all should come? And so if that's the case, I know there are people out there who think, well, God doesn't want, I'm just too bad. I'm just human trash and there's no reason for me to be alive. Yes, there is. Mm-hmm. It's called eternity, and that's where God wants you. And that's what we want people to consider, is that God wants us no matter who we are or what we've done. He wants us all.
And you bring up just something that we were talking about earlier. Even Jesus on the cross, as he was dying, prayed for the people that were around him and asked for forgiveness of what they were doing. They were actually nailing the Son of God to the cross, and it's mind-boggling mm-hmm. that someone say, "You're killing me, but I forgive you. I'm asking my Father to forgive you." Mm-hmm. How much love can one person have?
It's beyond imagination.
Yes.
To think about the love that Jesus had for each one of us. And I cannot, I've got so much.
And the person right next to him that was on the cross, at first he hurled insults, and then he says, wait a minute, this man next to us doesn't deserve to be here. Mm-hmm. He had a change of heart. You don't know how, it didn't take long to him to have a change of heart. Maybe he heard what Jesus said, God forgive them for what they are doing.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know what? Remember me where you're going, because I want to be there too.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So when we, you know, when we go about life and people irritate us so much, and they do, and they can, you know, because we're all perfect. Nobody else has got problems.
I'm gonna stay away from that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just kidding. It's just it's so easy to get so mad at people for doing the same stuff I do.
Yeah.
Whether it's a driving incident
or whatever
the case may be, it's so easy for me to criticize other people for doing the same, especially my own children, for doing the same stuff that I do. We've got to remember who we're dealing with. And it's an all-loving, eternal, however vengeful God.
Yeah.
And there are consequences for sin that we cannot avoid if we choose not to deal with our sin.
Yes, and
if we choose not to help people deal with their sin.
Yeah. Because if you and I still sin, we still need to confess, and that's in 1 John. Mm-hmm. And I think you're open to it.
Yeah.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
No. Which verse is it? 1 John what?
1 John 1, 9.
Yeah, it's right here. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we have to be honest with our sin.
Yes.
We have to be willing to say, I have sinned. Please forgive me. That's all there is to it. If we've accepted, and if we're living like we're, if we make a mistake, God will forgive us. That's pretty simple. Again, but it goes back to how we been a lot of division in the religious world about how we read the Bible, and that's really the biggest division. Is what does the Bible really say? Well, I believe the Bible says what it's. I don't mean this. You know, this old, well, says what it means and means what it says. Okay, well, that's great, but let's read it for what it is. It's God's inspired word.
Mm-hmm.
And take it at face value for what it says. And don't try to say, well, what does it not say? Or what does it mean? Well, read it for what it says. I pardon the pun, let the Bible speak, and then you'll be, I think we'll be okay on this.
Mm.
And everything else for that matter. But anyway, carry on, brother.
Well, you just hit on something. I didn't write it down, but
okay.
Jesus said, my word is truth, John 17:17.
Yes.
So Pilate asked that most infamous question.
Love that.
What is truth?
Mm-hmm.
And
then he answers it in John 8:31-32. If you abide in my word, you'll know the truth.
Truth and the truth will set you free.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
But here we are dealing, talking about this because the world doesn't recognize sin for what it is.
Yeah.
Which is a transgression from God's law.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we like it or not, whether it makes us feel good or not, it's still a transgression of what God said. Does God love us? Yes. Will he hold us accountable? Yes. Why? Because he's God and he can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, I mean, it's pretty simple. And we have the answer right here. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. You just got to read it and believe it. But anyway, carry on, Mr. Bowditch. That's a great book if you haven't read that, by the way. Go on.
Well, I was thinking about when I mentioned those pillars, I thought we would look at a passage when we're talking about Apostle Paul. Yeah. And this is how he viewed himself. And this is 1 Timothy 1. Mm-hmm. And verse 15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. He had a very humble view of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came to know the Lord and decided to change his life, he knew that he still needed to grow and continue to strive for the kingdom. Talks about he had not yet attained perfection and attained the goal of the prize that he was going to be hopefully receiving, the crown of life.
Yep.
So I just think that that's an amazing verse and one that we need to keep close to heart, and how we should view sin and how it makes us. We should be humbled by it.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I like, when you talk about those kind of things and you what the Bible talks about God and sin and how much he can forgive it. And in Psalm 103, I think I've got the right verse. It says, Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, as far as he removes, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us.
Mm-hmm.
So God's willing to, and the cool thing about God is when he forgives sins, it's gone. He doesn't remember them anymore.
Yeah.
Where we have a tendency to remember sins. We'll say, well, I forgive you, but, you know, if you ever do that again, you know, or
right.
I'll forgive you if, and Jesus, mm-hmm. Jesus, there was an if statement to what Jesus did. You have to believe, if you'll die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. That's a pretty direct statement. But he didn't qualify that as if you're clean enough, if you'll do what I say. I don't care about the color of your skin. I don't care about anything else, where you live, and all that sort of thing. He will forgive us all. It'll just be gone. If we help people see that they have sinned, and we love them enough to talk to them, and we're honest with ourselves. I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves as well and examine ourselves. Because if I'm going to go, you know, that interesting pun Jesus used, and remove the speck from your own eye before you move the tube before somebody else's eye, we've got to do that with our. We've got to be honest with ourselves as well, because there's a sword. God's sword is mentioned all through the Bible. It's mentioned in Isaiah, and it's mentioned, you know, in Revelation. It's mentioned in all over the this sharper. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to cut us open at some point, and our lives are going to be exposed whether we like it or not. Yeah. I'd rather do it now when I've got some choice in the matter than wait until that day when he says, okay, let's look at it. I don't want that.
Well, you have a way to do things. Just made me think of things, and I'm glad you do. This is how, going back to the very beginning of mm-hmm. the episode when iron sharpens iron, mm-hmm. You made me think about the very first sermon about when Peter deliver their first sermon, and it pricked people's hearts,
mm-hmm.
and people changed.
Yep.
But then when he spoke after he was caught by the religious elite at that time and was told, hey, he and John were before them and said, hey, don't speak about this man, their hearts were pricked, but not in the way that they wanted to hear nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They said no.
Mm-hmm.
So the first instance, they repented.
Mm-hmm.
The second instance, they were saying, no, we know what we did, but we're not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that, and I appreciate that, bringing those thoughts to mind.
Sure. All right, which you have next there, big boy?
Well, I appreciate it, but...
we're saying big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In James, it talks about, in James 4, and this is something that I know that I struggle with, and I don't know if anyone watching struggles with this or hears with this program, but James 4:17, therefore to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin.
Yes.
That sometimes is a hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in you talking about, I know I need to forgive this person,
mm-hmm.
but it is so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
They have done something that was so bad against me. I should really think about it. Well, that's, they've sinned against God.
Mm-hmm.
But if they've done something against me, God tells me I'm supposed to forgive them if I'm to be forgiven. That doesn't always come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be forgiven too,
mm-hmm.
and I need to show love to that person. The thing to do is to forgive them if they want forgiveness. But I also, whether they want forgiveness or not, I need to forgive them.
Because
I don't want anything to be held against me, because I know that Scripture tells me everything will be revealed, whether good or bad, once I come before God. I can't rely on anybody else to speak for me, come before God.
Yeah. And it's a double-sided coin. For someone who comes to me and has the courage to come to me and say, hey, Scott, I think you've sinned, they're doing what they know to be right. And I shouldn't be mad at that person. On the other side of that coin, if they tell me something I know was right and I don't change, that's on me.
Mm.
And it's for both sides of this situation, the one trying to help and the one needing help. Both of them need to come to this with the same attitude, and the one that comes, if you've got courage enough to go to somebody and love them enough to say, hey, can I talk to you about something? That's huge. Because a lot of people they're afraid that there's going to be a confrontation. Even if that yes. person is wrong, if that person comes to me and they're wrong about what they want to say, I still need to highly appreciate what they're trying to do for me.
Yeah.
Theron, you got a thought, Theron.
Well, I've got a question. So let's just face it, there are folks that kind of enjoy correcting other people's behavior.
Yes.
That it's just in their personality. If it's wrong, they're going to nip it in the bud, and they're going to be in your face, and they're going to tell you about it. Here's the thing. If you are a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and you understand that you're broken,
yes.
you before God are just a miserable wretch, and only through the grace of God can you have any right to stand before him.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to another sinner, you're not going as somebody who just wants to fix them because, oh, they stepped over the line and we're going to tell them how they did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it with the right heart,
mm-hmm.
you're doing it out of love. And yet I wonder when you approach somebody and say, hey, can we talk about this? Can we talk about what you're doing with your life? I think 9 times out of 10, the automatic assumption is, oh, you're just one of those people that wants to come fix me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're high and mighty, you think you got it all figured out, and you're going to come tell me how to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our challenges is, how do we overcome that? How do we reach out to them in a compassionate way that they understand, I'm just as wretched as you are, yeah. friend?
Well, I think that leads into a conversation about relationships. You know, as a congregation, as a group of God's people who are assembling together,
right?
We need to be spending time getting to know each other and appreciating each other and understanding each other's hearts, so that when somebody does come, we can't do that, and you know this, we can't go to a stranger necessarily and say, hey, you know what? You've got sin in your life, and I want to help you. Now, we can try that. But if they don't know us and they don't know our heart, that's going to make it a whole lot harder to do. So that's why it's so important to be nurturing these relationships. As we go, then when something does come up and we go to somebody, they're going to know we're going for the right reason. I think that's a huge piece of that.
Right.
Because it our family relationships and all, you know, if we've had conflict and strife in our families, over situation. And then all of a sudden we go to somebody and say, hey, you know what? I want to talk to you about your sin.
Yeah.
Really? Right. Oh, you do? That's not going to go well. And again, we can't, and again, there are conversations, this can go all over the board as far as how to, we can't be a Christian and check in a box on Sunday because we go to church twice on Sunday and again on Wednesday and then on Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, be idiots, and then all of a sudden that's going to, Sunday and Wednesday are going to fix that? People see what we do. People see our lives. And so that those relationships, whether it's at work or in our families or whatever, they're going to see who we are all the time. This is not a, this Christianity is not a part-time job.
Yeah.
And so I think that, but again, that speaks to areas we don't have time to really get to, but it's a huge part of this, this situation. But anyway, that has nothing to do with your list. But good question, though, Theron. So carry on, Mr. Bowditch. What you have over there?
Well, I was just thinking about when we restore people or having a one-on-one conversation makes me think about, well, what did Jesus do to restore Peter at the very end before he left to return to the Father? He asked me, do you love me? 3 times. Mm-hmm. You know that he had disowned him, turned his back on him. Peter did, but he did it in a loving manner. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That just came to mind. It wasn't on my list.
And
but,
it's a cool parallel. How many times did Peter deny Jesus?
3 times.
How many times? That's just one of those cool things. Like, why did Jesus ask him 3 times?
Yeah.
He wanted Peter to understand what Peter was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew his heart, but he wanted Peter to hear Peter, understand the commitment.
And Peter was cool. Yeah. And Peter was grieved or felt that.
Yeah.
And needed to feel that of, I think he finally realized the extent. Now, he grieved when he initially denied him, but I think he got an even clearer picture.
Yeah. Of his sin and the love Jesus had for him.
Yes, exactly. So both,
it's cool.
Yeah, I think that loving the sinner, that's a good illustration right there, too.
Yeah.
And how one is restored, and how Jesus can restore us.
Yeah.
And just to, I was thinking about 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's another passage about talking about what Jesus, who Jesus is, and it says, I'll let you get to it.
Oh, we're good.
It says, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so they might become the righteousness of God in him. So, just another, again, the Bible is filled just with a wealth of hope and a wealth of love for us that are undeserving. But we can be made whole.
He made him, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful, it really is.
And the scripture, and I didn't write this down, but it made me think of this. You kind of hinted at it, I don't know, say specifically, but a lot of people will say, well, you don't know what I've been through. Mm-hmm. You don't know how my life is. But scripture tells us that Jesus, but Jesus is able to sympathize with us because he's been through every trial and every temptation.
For a reason.
Yes.
So that he could say, I do know how you feel, and this is how you need to react.
Because Satan offered him everything from this world had to offer.
Well, and he had nothing to offer.
But it was still a temptation.
Yes.
You have to understand, the Bible says it was a temptation, even though Jesus owned everything.
Yeah.
What Satan was offering Jesus was a way out of what he was going to have to do.
Oh, yes.
Which wasn't a way out of what he needed to do. But, you know, he is the father of lies, and we need to hate him a lot. Did I mention that? Spell his name with a little S. Hate him that much. All right, anyway, go ahead.
No, I just think that you know what? I might not be able to relate to everything, but Jesus can.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, he can.
And I think that sometimes to love a sinner, I love the verse. It says, slow to speak, quick to listen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the best way to love a sinner is sometimes just be a listening ear.
Yes. You know, on the way down here, I was thinking about that idea of slowing down, how we react. And I've in the last 2 weeks, I've always appreciated John Bingham very much. But the last 2 weeks, I have seen very clearly why the Church of Eastland asked him to be an elder. He is so... He has the ability to step back and look at a situation and slow down his response. And he's been able to slow me down in some of my responses. And it just comes with experience with the Word and being around Christians and knowing how to say things. I know he wouldn't want me saying any of that, but that idea of slowing, what you just said, slow down and think about what you're going to say and how it might be received. You know, and Dan Langford talks about not overcorrecting.
Yep.
Not, you know, some people go at things like a pinball machine, ball just bouncing everywhere, and sometimes our reactions are that way. Let's keep it between the lines and make small adjustments and be a little slower to react and wait, like you said, and listen to people and try to figure out where they are. It'd be so easy to just jump on somebody and say, well, you know what you're doing is sin and you're going to go to hell if you don't stop doing it. Oh, okay. Well, what's causing them? What's going on in their lives to get them to where they are? And there are a lot of things going on that we've got to help them work through. And so that I'm telling you, I know in order, if I ever get the opportunity to be an elder, I've got to learn from people like John Bingham and slow myself down and examine situations fully before I make a quick judgment and jump on somebody. That's not love. That is not love to do that, folks. You can't just slam somebody because they're sinning. I was there, and nobody slammed me. They showed me the Bible, and they gave me time. They spent a year and a half with me just being patient and giving me time.
And what does it say about love? Love is patient. Love is kind.
And when I look back at what people have done for me, if I don't try to do the same thing for other people, what am I saying? That it doesn't matter. That they don't matter. We've got to slow down in our response to people. I know that's a transgression from your notes, but that's very important. We've got to be willing to give people time and help them work through. We can't expect them just because I say they're sinning and say, okay, I'll fix it. That's not going to do it. We got to know people and know why they're in the situations they're in. They may be in a really bad situation because they didn't know any other way out. So let's show them a different way.
Yeah.
And that takes patience and not overcorrecting and keeping it calm and taking time and all those things John Bingham has. So anyway, what else you got, brother?
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head. I didn't get the way I was overnight. It took years of living a life that I was living. And I need to remember that when I look at someone, just kind of remember, okay, I needed a lot of work. And I still need a lot of work.
Yeah, okay, so have you arrived yet?
Yeah. I appreciate you pointing that out. I'm a work in progress, and I'm glad that I hope that I don't ever forget that. But
yeah,
I hope, Lord willing, that I can look at someone, and I think that approaching someone one-on-one, first of all, and showing that I'm caring before I just kind of bring in just an onslaught of other people trying to throw things at them, just trying to create an intimate connection. Goes back to that listening, and
you just conjured up a thought.
Well, I'm glad I did.
You conjured a thought. This is interesting. I just had this image. When we look at a brand new baby, how do we react? That's the face thing. Oh, that's so cute. Oh, look at that. It's such innocent. Look at that beautiful baby. We really need to look at every single person the same way. Mm-hmm. How did God create them? Well, as a pure, innocent baby. And life has tarnished what God made. and we've got to help remove the tarnish. Mm-hmm. And we got to help them deal with life. And we got, you know, I still need to figure out how to deal with life. I don't have it all figured out. I've still got two 14-year-olds at the house that are, they're not huge challenges, but, you know, we've got some work to do. And they know Daddy has work to do. And I'll tell them that. So life is hard sometimes. But we don't need to be making it harder because we're Christians. We should be trying to make it easier. And not, you know, yeah, do we need to draw hard lines? Yes. Right is right and wrong is wrong. But how do we say that in a way that helps people not hurt? And that's what we all got to keep working on. God's placed that responsibility in all of us, mm-hmm. not just preachers or pastors or whoever, whatever, you know, a preacher or elders. It's all of our responsibility to watch out for each other. And we need to take that seriously. Okay, back to your notes. We've got about 3 minutes.
3 minutes to cover
our Let's cover the page. Rest of those 47 verses you've got there.
Well, I do want to turn over to a passage because I think it's important, and this is in John 9, in verse 31. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about you, but if the creator of the world can hear me, I'm one of roughly 7 billion on this planet. And if
41.
I just think that's amazing that I'm just a speck of dust, mm-hmm. because that's where we were formed out of, dust of the earth, dust we shall return.
Yeah, when you look at the giantness of everything, we're just a little speck.
But the creator of everything, the vastness of everything, if I am truly willing to seek him, he'll hear me. But the opposite of that, the caveat, if I am not willing to do what he says, if I'm living a life that is not what he desires, then he won't listen to me.
But he still cares.
Yeah.
He still loves us. And he still gives us time to change.
Yeah.
And he still provides his love and his word and his patience. And gives us time.
Hopefully sufficient amount of time.
Speaking of time, we're out of time.
You could go over a little bit.
Well,
for sure.
Is there, how would you want to close this, you know, of all the stuff you've got, how do you want to close this thing out?
Well, I just want to say that when you were talking about a newborn child, mm-hmm. I just want to give a shout out to Theron's daughter, who was just recently baptized.
Yeah.
And she's Priscilla, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Priscilla. All right.
When I get to my age, my memory starts to go.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Don't get...
1980.
Yeah.
Damn.
Pup. Anyway.
Yeah, but...
Whippersnapper.
Yeah, I know that, but... When I was baptized, I got emotional. I can't imagine what Theron must have felt. I'm getting a little teary-eyed myself that when you see a newborn child and the parents, I'm sure, are overwhelmed with his sense of joy. Mm-hmm. Now, Scripture tells us that, gives us this illustration, when one is astray from the flock, 99 are together, but when one strays, when that one is found, sort of like when that one sinner repents, what joy is there in heaven?
Angels rejoice. Isn't it beautiful?
Yes. So, there is joy. God finds joy when one comes to repentance and realizes that they are a sinner. I know that God rejoices when we realize that when we sin and we repent and make that change.
Yep.
Because we can't be effective for his kingdom when we are in sin.
So, I'm going to ask you like I do every week. Everybody out there, get your Bibles. Read them. Let them talk to you. It's literally God talking to us. Read it that way.
Yeah.
Read it that carefully. Love it that much. And let it change your life. And I guess we need to quit. I appreciate everybody very much. I think we were up to 16 viewers at one point. That is a world.
No, 20.
We were up to 20.
We peaked at 20.
That's a world's record.
For us it is, yeah.
And so I appreciate very much people's time and energy and the concern they've shown for this work and for the work at El Bethel and for the support we've received from all over the place. Texas, Alabama, we've gotten stuff from all
Tennessee.
Over the Tennessee. We've gotten stuff from all over the place to help the work.
We got somebody who actually takes CDs down in Florida.
So thank you for that. And I just want to do a little bit of good and no harm. I'm just trying to do something. And so I appreciate y'all taking the time. Love all of you. Take your Bibles and read what it says about all these things we talked about this morning. And, you know, get serious about studying it. And I love everybody. Theron, you have anything you want to say before we close?
I'll close this out.
Okay. All right. Thank you all. Love you all. See you next week, Lord willing.
I want to do a quick shout out to the station owner, Sean Scott, who had joined us at least briefly on Facebook. Appreciate his time. He, when we first started airing, he posted a watch party on Facebook. I'm not even sure what that is.
Well, that's cool, though.
Yeah, a watch party. Ooh, I thought maybe it was Overwatch, but I guess it was Watch Scott Mitchell. And so that's how we peaked at 20, I believe, is Scott was helping to direct people our way. Sean, we certainly appreciate that.
Yep.
You've been listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcasting from beautiful Marengo, Indiana. This show airs every Saturday morning at 9:30 here on WBRO. Occasionally we've been on Facebook Live for other logistics reasons, but generally we're here in the studio. You can look us up on Facebook. We are Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak. Simply search that in Facebook and you should bring us right up.
Mm-hmm.
You can get our live broadcast. You can actually see Scott's gorgeous mug.
Yeah.
And that beautiful head of hair, which evidently some fans really appreciate. But we won't go any further with that if you've seen the post.
Well, if you know him, you
whatever's
understand.
Whatever's going on there. Yeah, we need to look into that. I don't know.
I'll explain in a minute.
Yeah, you'll explain in a minute. Okay,
yes,
well,
but not on air.
You sure?
Yes.
Please?
Maybe later. Not today.
Not on air. Okay, we don't get to have that one on air, unfortunately. So it's only for the folks
Emma
in the
knows.
Studio get that one.
Emma knows.
Okay, there is a story. I'm not surprised. And we do have a...
And Abigail does too.
Okay. We do have a... our dedicated website. It is letthebiblespeak.faith.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's letthebiblespeak.faith. And then there's audio of all the broadcasts. There's just like literally a couple that are missing, but nearly all the broadcasts are recorded there. And you've been listening to episode 41 of Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak. And we now return you to regular programming. All right, guys, we're off.
We're not off Facebook Live yet, though.
Well, I magically just did it.
I'm just going to tell them.
I'm not controlling it for you.
I'm not going to tell. I'm not going to explain that until we're off.
So what's the story around the possum?
That's Priscilla. Martin. That's Martin. That's
Martin
Priscilla.
We love Martin the possum. Yeah.
That's kind of like Priscilla kind of named it our station mascot.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I turned it off. Go ahead.
No, you didn't. I can see.
Yes.
With one good eye.
All right, guys. Sorry, I tried to talk him into sharing it, but it's only for us. Okay, we're going to hear about the hair.
For now.
For now.